Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And once again, it's so good to be with you as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. The United Nations Climate Change Conference is going to be held in Cancun, Mexico, from the 29th of November to the 10th of December. And it's the 16th conference, all to do with the Kyoto Protocol that we've been studying climate change that's so controversial right at the moment. But the question that's been coming in from people that listen to this program is, you're going to be safe to go to Cancun, Mexico for the United Nations Conference? Today we want to continue our study of homeland security, particularly border security this time, and we have with us Carlos Moron. He is the Investment and Trade Commissioner for Mexico, stationed in Dallas, Texas. Very, very informative guy, and he's going to tell us about the economic conditions in Mexico, and we're going to touch a little bit on security. Also coming back is David McIntyre. If you remember him from last week, he's an authority on homeland security, and we asked him about border security, and he had plenty to say about that. Recently, a couple by the name of Hartley, David Hartley, was killed. His wife reported, she said that she and her husband were on jet skis on September 30th, returning to the United States from this lake in the Rio Grande River. They were photographing a half-submerged church in Mexico, and they were attacked by pirates on speedboats. And Hartley was shot, presumably fell into the lake. Tiffany Hartley, his wife, said she tried to retrieve her husband's body and his jet ski, but the pirates continued firing and she fled. And there apparently are eyewitnesses who corroborate these accounts. So we have that story, and it's only one out of many, and a lot of people are saying that, well, the Hartleys were in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong company. But the big story, the real troubling thing, is that a Mexican police commander investigating the incident was decapitated, and his head was found in a suitcase outside a Mexican army base. And this is so disturbing because it looks as though the Mexican government doesn't have control over its own people. Some are comparing it to revolution. Harks back to the time of Pancho Villa. Poor Mexico, so far from God and so close to the United States. Well, of course, that was said by Porfirio Diaz. He was president of Mexico for about 30 years, and during his reign ended, of course, there was a revolution in Mexico, Zapata, Pancho Villa, probably the one most well-known. And we've been asked, is that what's happening in Mexico? Is there revolution? And is this Pancho Villa-esque? Well, let's get right to our interview. Well, we're honored to have today the Investment and Trade Commissioner from Mexico, Carlos Moron, and we caught up with him. I've been an easy guy to catch up with. He's a very busy guy, but he was on his way to Houston, and he's taken a few minutes to be with us. Welcome to the program, Carlos.
Yes, thanks.
Tell us now about the economic situation in Mexico. This is a fascinating subject to those of us in the United States because you're our closest neighbor to the south, and we're interested in the economic situation there now.
Thank you. Well, as you know, Mexico was not an exception. It was hard hit like most of countries last year. We had a recession. GDP fell 6.8%, basically due to a drop in exports and weak domestic demand. Nevertheless, growth expectations for 2010 are pretty promising. We should be growing. Analysts expect that Mexico grows around a rate of 5% GDP growth for 2010. And these, what's interesting is that this growth is being fueled by a recovery in exports, in trade. Non-oil exports have posted positive year-on-year growth rates at around between the 30 and 35% rate consistently in the last few months. And of course, from the cyclical low we saw last year of May 2009 to today, exports have risen about 36%. What is driving these non-oil exports? Basically manufacturing. Manufacturing, as you know, the close relationship we have with the United States, with NAFTA, have been a big factor in having manufacturing and mining, as a matter of fact, the fastest growth sectors in this recovery. And in that sense, Mexico, I think, is a very viable option in many different areas. When you look at the macroeconomic indicators like inflation, it has averaged an inflation of consumer price index, you know, between 4.4, 4.5 in the last 3 years, from 2000-2009, compared to 6.7 from other emerging economies around the world. Country risk, as measured, as you know, as the spread in the yields of sovereign dollar bonds, U.S. Treasury, have returned to pre-crisis levels. So I would say, looking at the exchange rate, looking at the interest rates, looking at foreign exchange rate reserves, Mexico really is a country that offers a very good destination for to do business with foreign direct investment. And, you know, in that sense, I believe that the strengths of the Mexican economy are, as I just mentioned, their large exporting base, you know, energy availability. We can talk a little bit about that. And the ample network of trade and investment agreements that Mexico has today with 44 countries around the world.
Well, you also have several deep water ports, I understand, and pretty soon, if not already, going to be using rail lines to ship goods coming from Asia into the United States. Am I not correct on that?
That is a very good point you just mentioned. Mexico wants to position itself as the premier logistic platform in Latin America, and we should do that. And that's the reason why the Mexican federal government's investing, just invested about $5 billion in last year only in to improve the conditions of highways, of railroads, of ports, deep water ports, multimodal corridors. As you know, Logistics is they understand this subject extremely well. They know how important it is, logistics, and having the infrastructure, correct infrastructure, to be able to accelerate and reduce costs in cargo and trade between companies that are producing globally and that want to be close to market, want to deliver as fast as they can their products to their end consumers. Let me just give you some facts that I think are very important. How important is Mexico and in the relationship between Mexico and the United States, but particularly with Texas. Mexico is the largest importer of goods and services from Texas. Actually, we represent about $56.1 billion in 2009. As you know, Texas is the state today, is the entity in the United States that exports more, even more than California. They're the number one exporter in the United States today. And Mexico is their largest importer, almost between 33 and 34%. Bilateral trade between Mexico and Texas is $171.1 billion. So again, what are those goods that Texas exports to Mexico? Basically, computers and electronics, chemical manufacturers, transportation equipment, machinery manufacturing, petroleum products, of course, and refining products. So in that sense, I think the idea of building better roads, better railroad crossings like the one they're going to announce very soon, as you just mentioned, in between Matamoros and Brownsville, I think will improve logistics between Mexico, the United States, and basically Texas.
Then will this improve employment opportunities then for Mexican workers? And I ask this question because it's constantly on the mind of Americans about the crossing of our borders to come here to work with workers in many ways we really, really badly need. But these workers wouldn't be coming across the border if there was ample work for them in Mexico. Where do you see that going?
Well, I think that's exactly what Mexico, one of the main strategies of Mexico is to retain all of those workers that are crossing here for basically economic reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, your gain is our loss. In that sense, the long-term program of Mexico is build better infrastructure, have better education programs, being able to provide to all of these individuals, this young population of Mexicans, the necessary or just conditions to have a job and to have the aspirations as any other individual to improve their livelihood and improve their you know the family well-being and the economic development of their communities.
Well, of course.
Yes, we definitely, I mean, in the short term, definitely, Mexico is working very closely with the United States in trying to find common grounds on a comprehensive immigration reform. I think that's key, and I know what we've heard is that the relationships between this administration and President Calderón administration is to work very closely in finding out those basic components are to have a comprehensive immigration reform, which is much needed. I mean, we understand very well, for security reasons, not only the border but the rest of the United States, that the government needs to know who are these people, where are they coming from, where do they live, who are, you know, what exactly are their names. So we understand that very well.
Well, yeah, the worry is the porous border where we could get terrorists coming across the border while we get a whole bunch of really other types of workers that are not a threat at all. And that, I think, is the concern, and I'm sure you can understand that.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, we believe that that the border today offers challenges, big challenges for both countries. There's been several meetings around those, and I'm not just talking immigration, I'm talking about security, I'm talking about having that ability to trade in a competitive way and keep that $1 billion trade a day that we have with the United States moving fastly and moving at the rate we needed to move. Those are the challenges we need to definitely work on the border on both sides, and you know, secure energy security and safety. That's another key issue. But all of those is part of a very integral, very comprehensive program between the two countries that, again, anything that Mexico decides as domestic policy will impact, of course, necessarily, in some way, it's going to create a reaction in the United States domestic agenda, you know, foreign policy, and vice versa. Any domestic policy that the United States wants to enact would definitely generate some sort of reaction on the terms of foreign policy in Mexico. So we're joined by the hip, so it's very important that we work closely. And I believe that there's been some good results and things to be you know, feel good about in the last year or so, last 2 years or so.
Well, since we're on the subject of the border and the security, of course, Felipe Corón deployed 7,500 soldiers and 2,500 heavily armed federal police to Juarez across the border from El Paso because of the border unrest, and we're quite concerned about that. And of course, recently, the violence problems that happened in the lake. recently, and the Mexican police commander investigating was killed, and his head then sent to an army base there in Mexico in a suitcase. And this, I guess, some people are saying, well, gee whiz, you know, it seems that like Calderón can't control these outlaws, and is Mexico in sort of a de facto revolution or something? Can you address that?
Well, that is, I think, one of the things you hear in the media. And I think some of that rhetoric comes from the 6 p.m. news, which evening news, which I think are a little bit not precise. You know, I think there's really a strategy to fight organized crime in Mexico, to restore the rule of law in Mexico. And this is basically the strategy behind all this. Mexico is not even close to be a failed state, as some people have mentioned, and not even close to that. We have very good, solid institutions, government institutions. There is a very clear strategy in this fight against organized crime, which, by the way, this is all, of course, originated by the large demand of drugs that we have from the United States, and by the large inflows of weapons and arms that have been sold from the United States to these cartels. More than 7,000 shops, weapons, gun shops have been installed in the border because of the high amount of business that this creates for these businesses. And you know, there's a lot of illegal money laundering that's going on from the U.S. to Mexico. All of that, I'm not saying that this is not something that Mexico has nothing to do with. I believe that this president is taking very important measures and very clear strategies of how to not just to fight these people, but with a clear strategy of how to do it. And we need the cooperation of the United States definitely to do it. So I would leave it at that. I mean, I know that the national forces of security, the national security forces are moving diligently. There's been a lot of captures of drug high you know, the thugs in Mexico. There's a lot of intelligence going back and forth into Mexico and the U.S. and a lot of embezzlement of funds. There's been a lot of activity there also in embezzling funds, not only funds but big cargo of drugs and things of that nature. So yes, I agree that violent deaths are not are of course in the media, you know, bleed and lead, so to speak. That's what sells, and I believe that that we have to control those number of violent deaths and reduce them, and hopefully that can be achieved. But of course, this is going to take time. It's again the massive demand of drugs from this country. It creates a very big challenge for both countries to fight this.
Well, I think we certainly can find agreement there, and I want to ask a little bit more about that too. But you mentioned the guns going south from the United States. The cartels down there have machine guns, hand grenades, rocket launchers, anti-tank weapons. Those aren't coming from the United States, and guns are illegal in Mexico. Correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the guns that are leaving the United States are going to citizens who feel that they need to protect themselves from the people with machine guns and hand grenades and rocket launchers and anti-tank weapons. And then as far as the drug issue goes, let's say that we legalize drugs in the United States. Will that solve the drug demand problem and get control of the drugs and put these cartels out of business?
Well, that is, you know, that's an interesting point. That debate has been opened by the President Calderón in Mexico recently, 2 months ago, and said, should we legalize drugs in Mexico? Let's hear what society and the community and leaders of opinion, leaders in the media, leaders of academic and different areas have to say about this. So, you know, I really don't think President Calderón is going to have a moral crusade against drugs. Again, the strategy here is to restore the rule of law, to enforce the rule of law. And it's very simple. I mean, that's why a lot of Mexicans voted for him in the last election. And he's just doing his job. He wants to enforce the rule of law, so we have a better judicial system, have a better police in that sense, that he's working with federal government and agencies to have that. And all of that, at the end of in a few years, hopefully, we will have a whole better control of the situation, so it doesn't present any more national security threats, as you mentioned before. But, you know, do I believe legalizing drugs in the U.S. would definitely solve the issue? You know, all I can say, and I know that demand for drugs is totally inelastic, so, I mean, I wouldn't know exactly. I wouldn't comment more on that. I don't know if that would solve the issue or not.
All right. Well, the United Nations Climate Change Conference is going to be held in Cancun from the 29th of November to the 10th of December. And Patricia Espinoza, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, has said, and this is a quote, "With political will and a pragmatic outlook, Cancun can be the beginning of a new era of agreements on climate change." But the people that are going there are certainly worried about the Mexican government having control over these cartels. And will it be safe, or will this be chosen as a time to do some massive disruption by terrorist-type people? How can you address that?
Well, our answer would be in facts, in data that is hard data and available to the public. You know, most of these deaths related to the cartels are localized or focalized in regions, in very narrow regions where these cartels operate.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are located in the northern part of Mexico, because those are the routes of the drug that comes from South America that go from Mexico. Those are the routes that these organized crime cartels want to keep intact. So the fight for territory, to keep those routes open, to have those to be for them to be able to make business, it's located in very these focal areas, mostly along the border. Well, first of all, COP 16 is a very important effort of the Mexican government, and they're just hosting this conference, as you will know, as you just mentioned, taking mm-hmm. place in Cancun the first week of December. And we're hosting it as United Nations on climate change. It has done already 16 conferences of this this nature. And in this case, what Pro Mexico is doing is participate in an expo of clean technology and initiatives related to biotechnology, to renewable energy, to opportunity investment in these sectors, in biotech, etc. And I think this is a great opportunity for people to participate. Now, what is the federal government doing in terms to secure the area? Well, I believe that you know, that is going to be we just did a bicentennial celebration all around Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
200 years, we had massive. How would I call it, massive presentations in different areas all of Mexico, and we didn't have a single incident there. I don't see why there shouldn't be, you know, I could tell and assure that there's going to be, and it's already been taking place, a lot of security measures are being taken place in Cancun, a lot of companies, foreign public officials, from different institutions, prestigious institutions around the world are visiting Cancun on those days. So I think the measures have been taking place. So I would assume and I would say that it's very safe to travel into Cancun and participate in this great conference, which I believe offers a tremendous showcase of opportunities in this sector and green solutions.
All right, Carlos, a lot of us feel a whole lot better knowing that it's going to be safe for us when we travel to the United Nations Climate Change Conference held in Cancun, Mexico, from the 29th of November to December 10th coming up. And when we come back, I'm going to want to ask you about the deplorable outlaw conditions on the border with Mexico and the United States. It has become so bad, and it appears as though the Mexican government is so impotent in being able to do anything about it. Some are comparing it to civil war, saying it harks back to the time of Pancho Villa. I'm going to want to ask you about that when we come back in just a minute. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Anonymous. No one can make you unhappy without your consent. Anonymous.